Guys, if you would, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we'll be going through the whole chapter tonight. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now, this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you may observe them into the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all of His statutes and His commandments, which I command you, and your son and your grandson, and all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in the house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and upon your gates. And before we begin, just some reminders where we were last week from chapter 5. Remember, Moses reminded them of God's law. He reread the Ten Commandments, but he also reminded them of what they saw. And what they saw was the Lord descending upon, God's descending upon Mount Sinai. And it was smoke, and it was thunder, and it was a pretty freaky thing. And then we saw what Israel's response was to all that. They were scared. And that's a normal reaction if you see God's glory and His greatness, and you hear His voice in the midst of the fire. Moses said, remember what you saw in regards to what you've heard. Remember, the Mount Sinai experience was not a time of sweet fellowship. The message from Mount Sinai was not, come unto me, but stay away because I'm holy and you're not. Based on what Israel saw and what Israel had heard, they said, we'll do it. We're going to do just all this thing. And it wasn't like 40 days later they were dancing around a calf doing dumb things, right? And the Lord knows their heart, and He knows our hearts as well. Matter of fact, Psalm 139, O Lord, you search me, you know me. You know my sitting down and my rising up, and you understand my thought from afar. That's our Lord. The Lord, in His grace and His tenderness, He sends them home and instructs Moses in what he needs to instruct them in, which is His Word, which is His heart. See, guys, God's not trying to control them. He knows what's best for them, and what's best for them is His heart for them. God, in His grace, revealed His glory to them on Mount Sinai. Why? So they would take Him seriously in what He had to say. But God also revealed His heart to them in that He wanted them to prosper and do well in the land. I have yet to meet a parent who did not want their kids to do well. I've yet to meet one. The Lord said in Psalm 103, 10 through 12, and this is such a wonderful little portion of Scripture, and I pray it finds a home in someone's heart tonight. He's not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as He's removed our transgressions from us. The Lord's heart for Israel in chapter 5. Okay, second, before we begin, let's remember how blessed we are tonight. See, we've not approached the place of Mount Sinai. You can't come up here yet. We've been blessed with who was to come, Jesus, the one who would fulfill all the commandments. Remember, the first four deal with our relationship with God. The last six deal with our relationship with each other. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. Do not think I come to destroy the law of the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but fulfill. For surely I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. We are so blessed that we can approach God in the manner in which we can approach God because of the time in which we have been born. Jesus is hung upon the cross. Jesus was resurrected. Jesus was seen by witnesses. Jesus ascended back to the Father, and we're waiting for our Lord Jesus to come back. See, our Lord's heart for us is to trust Him and to follow Him. A question, does this sound like someone who wants to control us or someone who knows what is best for us? Psalm 23, you've all heard it before. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for You're with me. Your rod, Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, why do I bring all that up? Because where we're at in chapter 6, okay? Moses continues with the command to Israel to be obedient here in chapter 6. Look at verses 1 through 3. I got to take a drink right quick. Now, this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you're crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you, you and your son, your grandson, all the days of your life, that the days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Guys, never think that a life that is obedient to the Lord will be less of a life. You just think of the obedience. When we're obedient to what God wants us to do, how blessed we are. He's not trying to control us. Just look at Psalm 23. He knows what's best for us. Listen to what Moses says. He says, therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you. You may multiply greatly, that the Lord of your fathers has promised you a land flowing with milk and honey. Our life with Jesus, if you think about it, started out in obedience. Because guess what? No one gets saved unless they humble themselves under what God's Word has to say, does it not? No one gets saved unless they acknowledge the fact that, you know what? I need the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a sinner. And apart from His grace and apart from His cross, I'm destined to go to hell. And we humble ourselves and we're broken and we accept the work upon the cross. And then that's a heart decision. That's not a head decision. And I'm not telling you guys anything you don't already know. It's a heart decision. Remember how humbled we were when we came to the fact that, you know what? I'm a sinner. I'm separated. I'm in rebellion. Lord, I need you. Matter of fact, Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 through 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is broad, and the way that leads to destruction. There are many who go by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult into which leads to life. And if you find it, Romans says this, Romans 3, 23 through 26. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ, whom God set forth as propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that it might be just the justifier of the one who has faith in the Lord Jesus. God tells the people of Israel, if you want to prosper, if you want to do well, I'm asking you to be obedient to what I have to say. Take me at my word. Same thing for us tonight. Think about this. Question, since we've walked through the narrow door into the great expanse of God's love, has life not been these things? Moses says, well with you. I guarantee you, when all of us, if you got saved tonight, you never experienced the peace that you experienced when you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart. It's just something that was just so... You never had that type of peace before in your life. It was this well with you type of stuff, right? Matter of fact, Jesus said this in John 16:33. These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. That it's well with you. A life of obedience. It's well with you. Not only that, you will multiply greatly. Moses said, you'll multiply greatly. Taking the Lord at His word and just dwelling there and going forward. Growth. We never seen fruit like this in our life before we accepted the Lord as our Savior. Galatians 5, 22 through 23. The fruit of the Spirit's love and joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. That's being multiplied greatly. Remember what we were like apart from Christ. I remember what I was like from apart from Christ. I was a very short-tempered young man. Apart from Christ, I had a very foul mouth. Apart from Christ, I was very critical. Apart from Christ, I was so many things. But man, when I come to the saving knowledge of the Lord, things change because of who was in me. And you know what? The same is for you tonight. See, our life is never less when we're being obedient to the Lord. It's so much more when we're obedient to the Lord. Not only that, Moses says, a land flowing with milk and honey. A life we've never seen or experienced before. A life with Jesus is a land flowing with milk and honey. I guarantee it. I love Romans chapter 8, verse 31 through 39. God's everlasting love. This is abundance. This is milk and honey when you think about it. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. Who is He who condemns? It's Christ who died and furthermore is risen. Who's even at the right hand of God who makes intercession for us. Man, Jesus praying for us. I mean, think about that for a moment. Who'll separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, the sword, as it's written, for your sake we're all killed all day long. We're counted as sheep for slaughter. Yet in all these things we're more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall ever separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Think about this just for a moment. Stephen, the first martyr of the church, did he look bummed out by being obedient? He wasn't bummed out. Matter of fact, it says, Scripture says he had the face of an angel, even as he was being persecuted. Moses is trying to get across to these guys how truly blessed you are and how much more blessed you'll be if you continue to do what God says do. Well, you think, I mean, obedience is not one of these warm, fuzzy words, is it? Okay, when you think of obedient, well, what do you think? It's not one of these things you just want to cuddle up to, right? But think of this, a life of obedience is such a blessed and impactful life. It is such an incredible life. It's not less, it's so much more. One more thing, if we're sitting and thinking, I don't see life different since Jesus. The problem's not Jesus. The problem is a lack of Jesus. The book of James says this, humility cures worldliness. James chapter 4, verse 7 through 10 says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands and you sinners, purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament, mourn, weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and He will lift you up. That is a promise to draw near to Him. I mean, He's not here. Just stay away, please. Okay, now, you know, Jonathan, if he's got stuff on his hands and he's nasty and he's dirty, I'm kind of like, stay away. Let's get you cleaned up first, you know. And he's wanting to draw near with that mess. We'll never be bummed out by a life of obedience to the Lord. Never will we be disappointed. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. When we're just simply enjoying the Lord, you know what? He's our desire. Oswald Chambers said this once, spiritual truth is learned by atmosphere, not by intellectual reasoning. God's Spirit alters the atmosphere of our way of looking at things, and things begin to be possible which never were possible before. Getting into stride of God means nothing less than union with Himself. It takes a long time to get there, but keep at it. Don't give in because the pain is bad just now. Get on with it. And before long, you'll find you have a new vision and a new purpose. Remember, the journey begins with what Moses said to these guys. He says, therefore, Israel, hear. And to hear, we must draw near. A life of obedience to the Lord. Guys, it is not a bummer. It's a step into abundance. Jesus said this in John 10:10, the thief comes to except to steal, to kill, and destroy. I've come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. We are so blessed. I'm going to be honest with you. I forget how blessed I am. And when I forget how blessed I am, you know what? I'm not very thankful. You know, I'm doing my son's future spouse an incredible good service. I'm teaching him how to pick up after himself, whether he likes it or not. Okay? I'm teaching him that. He will learn that. He will learn that one thing before he's out of this house. I'm not going to be in my mid-50s picking up after him. I'm not going to do that. I'm sorry. Okay? He's going to learn. And then it's not that big of a deal to pick up after yourself. You get it out, you put it up, right? And right now, in his little mind, he thinks it's such a big deal and such a bummer to pick up his little room. So, you know, he's got these Legos and they're just dumped everywhere, you know, and it's just all over the place in this discord. I'm like, Jonathan, you need to pick up your room. You pick it up. Whoa, 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 slow your roll, brother. I didn't get that stuff out, man. You need to pick that mess up. You see, Daddy picks up after himself. Mama's not going around picking up after me. I walk off. I come back in there, and guess what? Same old story, different day. Man, pick up your stuff. You help pick it up. You pick up this one. Whoa, 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 whoa. If you'll start, I'll help. You know, I mean, it's like pushing a rope to get this dude to do this. And what he doesn't realize is that his dad, what his dad is asking him to do is really not a bummer, and it's only going to take about this amount of time, and he can go be doing something else. You see what I'm saying? In the end, he will be blessed by it. He will be very blessed by it. Okay? Think about it. The life that we have in Christ, an obedient life, I've never seen anybody who's been obedient to what God has called them to do to be bummed out. But I've seen plenty of people who's not doing what God's called them to do or did this or did that, and they're kind of bummed out about it. You know, when I know that God's told me to do something, and I just kind of ignore it or put it on the back burner, it doesn't take long for it to show up on my countenance. It doesn't take long for it to reside there. Because the Lord, I'm just, you know, I'm like Jonathan down there. I just want to sit here in my mess, man. What an incredible blessing. Just right from the get-go, after Moses finishes pointing them back to the law, after Moses finishes pointing back to what they saw, he's like, I want you guys to get this. I want you guys to understand that a life in obedience is a place that is going to go well with you. You're going to multiply. It's a place of a land flowing with milk and honey. And you know what? Moses knows something about being disobedient. And he knows something about being disobedient and how it cost him. He knows. Now look at verses 4 and 5 and we're going to move on. He continues and he says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. Okay, this is not a contradiction in Scripture. The Lord our God is one. Now, the Lord our God is definitely one. Okay, He's the only one. There is no other. Okay? But get this. I am talking about the Trinity. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. The word used here in Hebrew is echad, which speaks of compound unity. In regards to the Trinity, we need to remember that the Lord is one, not three. We worship one God existing in three persons, not three separate gods. 1 Corinthians 1:8-6 says this, Yet for us there is one God, the Father of whom all things, and we for Him and the one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom all things and through whom we live. Now, why am I bringing all this up? When people try to describe the Trinity, I've heard the illustration of the egg before. Have you heard the illustration of the egg? You got the shell, you got the egg white, and you got the yolk. Okay? That's what we're going to compare. We're going to try to make that comparison. We're going to compare the Lord to a hard-boiled egg? Or maybe an egg that's not even hard-boiled? I mean, this is what we're going to try to do? Well, why are you doing this? Why are you bringing this up? Here's why. Some things in the Bible about God are really beyond our complete understanding. Okay? It's beyond us. And here's my point. Let's stop trying to figure some of the things in the Bible out and let's just take them and enjoy them. The Lord our God is one, for instance, right? But how do we enjoy them? By investing in the one who gave them to us. You know, there are so many things within Scripture. You can't adequately describe or even really kind of comprehend the thing, you know. But you know what some of the big things are that people ask sometimes? What about the dinosaurs? I don't care about dinosaurs. I don't need to know about dinosaurs and how they fit in the thing. I know that I had a sin problem. I know that Jesus was the one who did something about my sin problem. I don't need dinosaurs. I don't say it that way or that adamant, but that's what's in my head. Don't worry about that stuff. Are you saved? Do you know you're saved? Let the Lord take care of that stuff. What did the flood happen all over? Or was it just a geographical thing? Who cares? Who cares? Okay? It doesn't matter to me. I don't need to know that. I'm going to take it at what God says here. All right? I would bring up tongues, but you people don't want to hear any more about tongues. I mean, a month of that. Stop already! We just enjoy the one who gave them to us. We don't try to figure some of the things out. What did Moses say in verse 5? He says, "You shall love the Lord God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and just with all your strength." Man, you know what? I didn't come to know the Lord when I was 10 or 8 or anything like that. I was a 25-year-old man. But you know the cool thing about a kid that comes to know the Lord? They just... Like my cousin, like my nephew. He is just excited about Jesus. He just wants to know all that he can about Jesus. That's all he wants to do. He's excited about the Lord. When I was 25, I was excited to be saved. But then I felt like, okay, I got to start learning some things. Okay, and yes, we do need to learn some things. But along the way, you know what? What happens sometimes is we get a lot of stuff in our head, but it just hadn't quite made it to our hearts. Okay, it hadn't made it to our heart. Moses says, I want you to understand something. The life and obedience is a blessed thing, but I want you to hear this. I want you to understand. Remember who it's about, not what it's about. Love the Lord God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. Be fully invested in this relationship. Tozer said this, "Let me remind you now that modern orthodoxy has made a great blunder in their erroneous assumption that spiritual truths can be intellectually perceived. There have been far-reaching conditions resulting from this concept, and they are showing up in our preaching, our praying, our singing, our activity, and our thinking." Guys, let's keep this very simple, real simple. Psalm 37:4, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart." Or as Moses put it, "Love the Lord God." Just love Him. Love Him with everything. Be fully invested in this thing. Just go for it. Look at verse 6 and 9 and what He says. "These words which I command you today shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be on the frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." See, here's the outflow from enjoying the Lord. It first needs to take place within our heart before we can do anything else with it, does it not? It's got to find a home here. It's got to find a home in here. Something's got to be taking place here before anything happens out there. So Moses says this, hey, in regards to your family, the best thing that you can do is let this thing find a home in your heart. And when it's in your heart, He becomes the focus of the home because He's the focus of our life. I'm not talking about God. I'm talking about someone we know. And when our kids care more about who we know than what we know, when we read the Psalms, you read through the Psalms, those guys are talking about someone that they know intimately. You look at David and the things that he penned. This is not some intellectual pursuit. This is something that has resided in his heart from walking, talking, and hanging out with the Lord. Psalm 19, verse 1 through 4 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows His handiwork. Day and day it utters speech. Night unto night it reveals knowledge. There's no speech nor language where the voice is not heard. The line has gone out through all the earth. and their words to the end of the world. He has set them as a tabernacle for the sun. Moses is saying, bring God into every nook and cranny of your life if you want to impact your kids. And think about that for a moment. Now, we live in a... Oh, man. Trisha and I are relatively the same age. I think you're... I was not going to say that. Stephen and I are relatively the same age. And I mean, we were at relatively the same age. These guys are a little more tread on their tires, okay? But they've seen what we grew up in, and we've seen what you guys grew up in, right? I mean, you guys grew up in the 50s. The 50s. I watched Leave It to Beaver. The 50s. But we saw the 60s, right? You guys had kids in the 70s and in the 80s, okay? And you saw what those kids, my generation, got caught up in, right? But you know what? Jonathan's generation or your generation, the instant access to information, we didn't have that. We did not have that. Okay? Now, who's going to have more an influence over Jonathan? Facebook? Or his mom or his dad? I think more now than any time ever. You guys got grandkids. You know? Do they not need to see the Lord in our lives? The Lord in our lives to make that investment. I mean, the best thing that we could do to pass on to the next generation is get serious about the Lord, not about just learning stuff. An intimate and incredible and a thankful and an obedient walk with the Lord. It'll impact you. Because you know what? You guys are looking for authenticity, aren't you? You've seen it all, you heard it all, right? You're looking for just real folks, right? You know, I can't even imagine what it's going to be like when you have kids. Can you imagine what it would be like when you have kids? And some of the things that they're going to be having to deal with. The best thing that you guys can do for your kids right now is to dive as deep into the Lord's heart as you possibly can. Because, man, once they're here, it's kind of like when you got married. What do I do now, you know? You know? It's amazing how much Jonathan actually listens. I was in the garage. I was working out, and he comes out there and hangs out. And man, he's trying to put his shoe on. You know, he's trying to get his shoe on. He's trying to get his sock on. And man, he's not having any luck whatsoever. And he's getting all frustrated and this and that. And I'm like, wow. I just see you when I was, you know, just a kid getting frustrated over stuff like that. I see myself there. I'm like, oh, John, I want to spare you from all that. So I said, hey, come here, man. I was like, you know, you're letting the circumstance get the best of you instead of you getting the best of the circumstance. And he listened. In other words, you know what? Just chill out, dude. Just chill out. I can remember when I first went to work in a machine shop, we also had a side business where we built like boat docks, boat houses, retaining walls. And I was a helper with this guy. And I was trying to pull some boards apart. And I was getting all frustrated, okay? And he walked up to me and he goes, you know what? Is that board smarter than you? I'm like, well, at the moment, yeah, you know. Life is full of teachable moments. And that's what Moses is trying to get across. He's like, you know what? Do your due diligence. Let His Word get in your heart, and then you know what? Let it flow on diligently to your children. Talk when you sit in the house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. I mean, just let God's Word be such an incredible part of your life. All right? Then he goes on to caution against disobedience. Because it really is a choice here to be obedient or disobedient. That's it. That's the choice. It's not a big one, right? Look at verse 10 through 16. So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land. It's going to happen. which He swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to give you large and beautiful houses. Okay, listen to this. Large and beautiful. Beautiful cities, which you did not build. Houses full of good things. Okay, which you did not fill. Hewn out wells, which you did not dig. Vineyards and olive trees, which you did not plant. When you've eaten and you're full, okay, you're just blown away by this thing. He says, then beware. Lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You shall fear the Lord your God and serve Him. You shall take oaths in His name. You shall not go after other gods and the gods of the peoples who are all around you. For the Lord your God is a jealous God among you. Lest His anger of the Lord your God be aroused against you and destroy you from the face of the earth. You shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted Him. The road of disobedience, think about this, can be forgetting the blesser and making life about the blessings. Look how much the Lord's given them. Beautiful cities. They didn't build them. Houses filled with good things. Guys, what would you do? I mean, think about it. You're a young couple. What would you do if someone gave you a house and it was completely filled? That's just mind-blowing, isn't it? Mind-blowing. Think about that for a moment. Wells you did not dig, vineyards you did not plant, olive trees you did not plant. You're going to be so blessed and so full, the Lord said, it'd be easy for you to forget about Me. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, for where your treasure is, there is your heart. And we've seen this so many times. The Lord brings folks into abundance and folks forget the Lord. I want to tell you a story of one of my friends. If anyone could have made it in the business that he was involved in, he should have made it. He's the most talented person I've ever seen in that field. He didn't make it. Matter of fact, his business ended up on the verge of being bankrupt. He had bills so high, there was nothing he can do about it. He sold the business, and then like a week later, his wife was in a tragic accident that she hit this brick mailbox thing. It was in an Astro van. The emergency brake went in here and broke her leg. She had to be airlifted. They didn't have insurance. His plan when he sold his business was to start this other business. So then they had to live off the money from this other business, right? So here's what happened. He got down to having no cash and he had to go get a job. And the place he ended up going to get a job was this big manufacturing plant who wanted to hire him for a very long time. The owner said, he calls, hey, can you put me to work? Yeah, come over today, we can put you to work. And so he went to work in the shop. They didn't really know what they were going to do with him, you see. They didn't have no clue. He's a very talented individual. All right. So about 2 weeks later, this is basically what happened. He said, the owner of the company approaches him and says, you know what, we don't really know what we're going to do with you, but you're not going to stay here. We got other plans for you. So you just kind of hang out here and you just do whatever and we'll see what will happen. Well, to make a long story short, 10 years later, he is the head of manufacturing in this company. Okay, we're talking six figures. His boss, I was over there, I don't know, about 6 months ago, I stopped in to talk to him. And he had this brand new picture of this truck on his wall. Okay, I'm talking a four-wheel drive, Ford pickup, extended cab, special order. You're not going on the lot and getting this rig. His boss, because he did such a wonderful job, bought him that truck free and clear and gave it to him. How many times has that ever happened to anybody here at a job? Not me! Here's you a nice ham for Christmas. Turkey. Here's your... Can you imagine? Now, you're like, wow, that's an incredible story. But here's the problem, see. He's not in fellowship anywhere. Incredibly blessed. But he's forgot the Lord. Now, he needed the Lord when things were bleak and when things were hard. But then the Lord turned that ship around. I mean, think about this. Have you ever heard a story like that? I go over there with him. The owner comes in and he asks me, you know, what I do or whatever. And he says, well, he's a machinist. And he goes, I'll hire you today. He was going to hire me based on what I could do, but more importantly, based on who I knew. Do you see what I'm saying? Oh, you're his friend? I'll give you a job today. I was like, well, I don't live here and this is not what I'm called to do. I got something else the Lord's calling me to do. It is so easy. It's so easy to be so blessed and to forget the Lord. I read this the other day, and it was from a Charles Swindoll book. Listen to this. Success. Many would say that success can ruin a man. I say that success reveals who the man was all along. When he needs the help of others, when he is on his way up, he'll be whoever or whatever he must be in order to get where he is going. Once he feels that he's arrived and no longer needs the facade, the true character of the man emerges. Success doesn't destroy character. It exposes character. Guys, enjoy where we are in life. And allow the Lord to work in what He needs to work in us. And how do we enjoy where we are in life? Just what Moses said. Dive in. Love the Lord God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. Dive into Him. Enjoy Him. Trust Him to do whatever He's going to do. Matter of fact, He says in Ephesians, He has prepared works for us in advance to walk in. We can't do anything beyond that. We can't do anything beyond that. And why would we want to? I worked in a shop a number of years, a Holman machine. And Bailey Holman, who was the dad, had a sixth grade education and taught himself trig. Very incredibly smart man. All the Holmans were smart people. Just incredibly gifted people. He had this picture that was from Popular Mechanics, and somehow or another he always had these stories where he helped work on it. It was a Volkswagen type thing with wings on it that flew. It was called the Bumblebee. Okay, now see, a bumblebee is not supposed to be able to fly due to the wings to the proportion of the body. It can't fly. But see, a bumblebee doesn't know that. It just flies anyway because that's the way God created it. You know? Why are you telling me all this? Enjoy the Lord. Enjoy Him. Don't worry about all this other stuff. Man, we start worrying about this and thinking about that. We get distracted. The best thing for a lot of us is not the new house with everything. The Lord knows what to give us when we need it. Let's trust Him in it. But when He blesses us, let's not forget Him. Verse 20 through 25. Oh, I'm sorry. I missed something somewhere. Oh, let me finish this. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, His testimony, His statutes, as He's commanded you. You shall do what is right and good inside of the Lord, that it may be well with you. Once again, He's saying, you know, obedience is not a bummer. And that you may go in and possess the land, the good land which your Lord swore to your fathers to cast out all your enemies before you, as the Lord has spoken. Obedience is never a bummer. It's a place of blessing. Guys, our kids are not going to ask questions about the Lord if He's nowhere to be found in our lives. Now look at what He says. Because the kids are just kind of, they're growing up and they're why are we doing what we're doing? Kids like to ask why, do they not? Why? 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 Why, why, why? Why, why, why? Because I just said so. Stop, please. Enough. You'll make me 50 before I'm 50. When your son asks you in a time to come, okay, it's going to come, and understand this, kids are going to ask questions. It's coming, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. What is the meaning of these testimonies, these statutes, these judgments, which the Lord, the God, has commanded you? Okay? It's a loaded question. What's the meaning of all this? Why are we living this way? We're not living like those folks. We're not living like those. Why are we doing what we're doing? Moses says, here's what you tell your kids when they ask why we're living this way, Dad. Moses gives them the answer to tell their kids. Okay, the Lord didn't let them just tell their kids whatever they wanted to tell them. Think about that for a moment. He gave them exactly what they needed to tell them. Then you shall say to your son, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. The Lord showed us signs and wonders before our eyes, great and severe against Egypt, Pharaoh, and his household. And then He brought us out from there that He might bring us in to give us a land which He swore to our fathers. The Lord commanded us to observe these statutes, to fear the Lord God for our good always, that He might preserve us alive as it is to this day. and then it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to observe these commandments before the Lord our God as He's commanded us. In other words, He says, this is what you tell them. Man, I'm a sinner saved by grace. You know what? I was a slave. I was separated. I was eternally separated from God. That's where I was. I was in rebellion. And the Lord in His grace and in His mercy sent a Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. I've been saved from the pit of hell. That's why we're living the way we're living. Because of Christ in me. That's why we're doing what we're doing. That's why we're different. Because the grace of God has been poured upon our lives. That's why we tell them that stuff. I had a friend. His name was Roger Jones. He had a son who was an incredibly gifted baseball player. He was a pitcher. He would go on and be drafted by a major league team and play in the minor leagues, but really never get any further. But listen to this story. They were going to the playoffs that year. His son's the starting pitcher. And guess when they decide to schedule the game? Sunday, 10 o'clock. Playoff game, starting pitcher. You know what his old man says? We're not going. We're going to be in church on Sunday. Coach wasn't happy. Kid wasn't happy. The other parents wasn't happy. He's like, no, that's not what we're going to do. That's not what we're about. They did get to the game, and he did get to pitch, and they did win. But you know what? It was an uncomfortable a little bit. You know, he could have easily blew the whole thing off. It's an important thing. My son's pitching. It's the state playoffs. I mean, he's a starter. But you know what? He held his ground. Someone once said this, our life will not rise above our devotional life. That's pretty heavy there. Moses said this, hear, O Israel, love the Lord God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. Life becomes so simple when we just make it about enjoying Jesus. Simple. Uncomplicated. We don't worry about anything. Let's close with this question. Does this sound like someone who is wanting to control us? Or someone who has so much more for us? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Just keep it simple. Guys, I pray that we just be renewed in thankfulness. That, man, when God asks us or He's calling us to do something, we would just go in that direction with no other expectations than the fact, okay, God, I'm going to be obedient. I just want to watch You work. When we run across a hard word in the Lord, let's not, you know, just take it and enjoy it. Enjoy the One who gave it to us, right? It would seem that a country as blessed as we are has forgot the blesser. Okay, I mean, this is not the norm. This is not the norm. Guys, let's don't forget the blesser. Enjoy what God's given. Sometimes. Enjoy what God has given us, but you know what? Don't forget who gave it to us. Because you know what? Your grandkids may come up. Your grandkids may come up and say, why do you live the way you live? Jonathan one day is going to ask me that question. Because see, he's going to see this, doing that, doing this. Well, why are you doing this? Because man, I was a 25-year-old living in a trailer and had a void in my heart. And I saw somebody at work. And I saw Christ in that person. And my eyes were open to the fact that hell was reality. Man, I got saved. And ever since then, the Lord has been leading and guiding and doing things in my life. What else can I do but not just give Him the life that He's given me, son? You've got to make that choice one day for yourself. And as long as you live in this house, this is what we're going to do. When you turn 18, it's your deal. But as long as you're here, this is what we're going to do, son. They're going to ask questions. They're going to ask. If they're not asking, that says something as well too, doesn't it? Enjoy the Lord. Go back to that place when you first got saved and you just enjoyed the Lord. Renew the joy of my salvation, man. Okay. 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 Joy of my salvation.